A person who considers himself fortunate. The officer who works in an office and his boss is so happy with him, pleased with him, that he praises the officer amongst the others. And he doesn't just praise him that he's a very good officer, rather he's proud of his officer, the boss. Yeah, now being proud of someone is a big praise, huge praise, that look at this officer, he's my best officer, very good officer, he's looking after my whole office, I'm proud of him. So all of the other colleagues, employees, they're all saying, MashaAllah, SubhanAllah, he's the favorite. He's the favorite, boss's favorite. And everybody will look at him respectfully and look at him with praise, and oh, he's got a high status. He's close to the boss. He's with the boss. And he's very strong in terms of his status. So every person in the office will respect him and be a bit afraid of him and talk about him and mention him. So this is about that person who's achieved in an office or in a workplace environment, and he's become the favorite of the boss, the manager. So what about that person then, the condition of that person, of that human being, who Allah Ta'ala is proud of? SubhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala is proud of that person. So the boss in the office, yes, under him will be an office in which there's employees, and only they know. But SubhanAllah, if Allah is the King of the universe, the King of the kings, the creator, the Malik, the owner, the controller, who knows from the smallest ant to the biggest of creatures or forms of creation, Allah is the Khalik, the creator, the owner, the sustainer, the provider. So if he is pleased with someone, and he becomes pleased in such a way that not just he likes that person, but beyond that he's proud of that person, that this is my servant. So when Allah is proud of that servant, just like the manager, the boss was proud of his officer, and everyone in the office, the employees started to respect him and look up to him in the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he's proud of that person and he praises that person, his servant, the whole universe will recognize that person. He's Allah's favorite. He's got high status. Allah's proud of him. Allah mentions him amongst the angels. Allah Ta'ala mentions him. I'm proud of this person. I'm happy with this person. SubhanAllah. So can there be a person like this? What deed does he do that he achieves such a high status and Allah is proud of him? What deed does he perform? There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim . The gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the meaning of the hadith is as follows, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present, people were assembled, gathered, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went there, he arrived there to see that what are these people doing, for what purpose are they gathered, assembled. He was the Nabi, the Prophet. He was inquiring or looking, and he went, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and asked them that you are gathered here, what is it you're doing? For what reason are you here? And the people, they said, oh Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they requested that we are just sitting here doing the dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah. Say SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. That we are remembering Allah, we are doing His hamd, His praise, His thana, His glorification. He's our Rabb, our Creator, our Malik, our owner. So many favors of His upon us. So we are just sitting here remembering Him. So the Prophet ﷺ said that for the sake of Allah, is this why you're sitting? By Allah, is this the amal, the deed that you're performing, that you have sat here to perform Allah's dhikr? You are remembering Allah? Just like, alhamdulillah, we are gathered. East, west, north, south, the hemispheres, every corner of the globe. At this moment, people are attentive and included in this gathering of dhikr online. Alhamdulillah. Who has seated us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who has enabled us to do dhikr? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, what a great, great point. In the same way, this halakha is sat across the worldwide. The Sahaba Karam, the noble companions, they were sat, and now at this moment in time, there's a gathering across the whole world. Men, women, children, old people, everyone sitting down. Allahu Akbar, everywhere. Yeah? In Africa, in Saudi Arabia, in Pakistan, in America, in Indonesia, in Malaysia, subhanallah. Every corner of the globe, people are sat. Someone's in a village, someone's in his home, and everyone sat in this gathering of the dhikrullah. Why? Why? Because it's Shaban dhikr, and every deed in Shaban is elevated, becomes great. So today's dhikr is a very high, lofty dhikr. Don't miss the dhikr in the morning, in the evening, the dhikr every day. Very great dhikr. Gathering. So Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam swore. He said, by Allah, I swear by Allah. Is this why you sat here? That he knew the Sahaba obviously was speaking the truth, but he was surprised. He was a little taken aback. That's such a great deed. Such a great deed. Such a deed you are doing, for which the rewards are so massive. Massive on this deed. So the Sahaba Kram, noble community, said that this is the reason of Prophet of Allah. There was no other reason. We are sat here just for the dhikr of Allah. That's why we're here. Rasulullah said, no, I didn't ask you, don't fear, don't be taken aback. But the reason is, don't be afraid that your status is so great that Jibreel alayhi salam, he came and he was, came with the great news that you are sat doing such a great deed. Was Jibreel alayhi salam just came and he gave me the information, the news, that whoever, this majlis that's taking place, this gathering, the people who are sat here, upon them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proud of them. In the whole universe, he's sharing that pride that look at these people, my servants. They are sitting and remembering me doing my dhikr. Subhanallah. It's the hadith of Sahih Muslim I'm explaining to you. So tell me, Allah's dhikr, what a great action it is. What a great treasure of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows to the human being. So the point here is that when a person sits to do a good deed, or if you're going towards good deeds, then shaitan, wretched shaitan, first and foremost injects a whisper into that person so that he demotes that deed. He belittles that deed through waswasa, whispering into that person's ears and heart. He will create such thoughts in your mind that to degrade that deed. Oh, there's no point in you doing this. What's the benefit for you doing dhikr? Such a great action Allah has defined. Explained that. Ask from me, Allah says. Ask from me. Now, in the Quran, Allah said, وَاسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Ask from me, I will accept. أَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Ask from me, I will accept. Allah is promising that if Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيَادِ. If Allah Ta'ala promises, it can never be incorrect. Whatever He says can never be incorrect. Whatever He states can never be incorrect. So when Allah Ta'ala is promising that I, whatever you ask from me, I will accept. Whatever you ask, I will accept. So ask from me. Such a great deed, just like dhikr, Allah Ta'ala said, do my dhikr, my mercy will come, and Allah will be proud. And shaitan says, no, leave this. People leave dhikr due to the whispers of shaitan. No, there's no benefit. I don't know. This is also dhikr, what I'm doing. That's also dhikr. No, that other action's more important. Everything's important. We know that. Yes, every action in its time and in its status, but the fadilat, the virtues of dhikr are so, so vast. Allah's told us, proud, He's proud of the dhikreen. So shaitan whispers, waswasa, and he deviates man. Yeah? So a person, for example, we have one assistant, one resource, Allah Ta'ala's karam and fadl and raham, that He's opened the door for His remembrance. Any issue, any problem, any difficulty, any severe conditions, any problem, Allah says, my door is open. All you have to do is knock on my door. That's it, end of story. Knock on the door, I will definitely open the door. Allah's promise. And shaitan, what does he say? He takes us far from Allah. Makes us despair, dejected, in problems. It would like today, the conditions around us, very severe conditions, everyone's upset. So he will make people lose out. What's the point of doing dua? Why do you pray to Allah? Your duas are not accepted. Look at this has happened, that's happened, this has happened to him. And he'll make you feel down, so you don't even ask for dua. Until death, keep on supplicating to Allah, doing dua to Allah, supplicating to Allah, because Allah has accepted, Allah has promised, I will accept your duas, your supplications. So Allah says that nobody can understand my hikmah, my wisdom. Nobody can arrive to Allah Ta'ala's wisdom, His might, His glory, His understanding, His secrets, His reasons, His hikmah. What are the reasons behind Allah's actions? Allah makes somebody ill. We don't know what's the wisdom behind that. What, this sickness has come, this is Allah's hikmah. We cannot say it's wrong, this disease, why did it come? Why have these conditions come to us? Why did that person die? Why did he have an accident? What would we call this? Allah's hikmah, Allah's wisdom, Allah's choice, Allah's desire. That's it. We cannot reject the conditions, the scenario, this scenario around us, the conditions around us right now. We can't say it's adab or sawab or test, or you can give it many names, whatever you want. These conditions around us, we can define it in many ways. Even today there's a debate amongst the ulama kram. They're debating on small points. And what is this? Big ulama, scholars, someone says, we should be cautious. Someone says it's not jais to be cautious. Someone saying this hadith and that hadith. Big ulama scholars, tell me. Is this the time to debate and argue? Is there ajeeb points? Weird points? And they're rejecting each other. My hadith is sahih. Why did this come? No, that hadith not right. What I'm saying, don't do this. Don't exercise caution, etc. This then starts the quarrels and the disputes and misunderstandings. In these days and scenarios, whatever the issue is, concentrate on that. Focus on that. What should we do at this moment in time? How should we react? That Allah Ta'ala has sent this test or challenge or problem or difficulty, whatever has come to our life in the problem, in any difficulty. Look at that condition, that difficulty, that scenario. That what should we do? How should we react? And there's one, or the only. Allah says, knock on my door. Just knock on my door. Call out to me, Allah, take this problem away. Allah, take this difficulty away. I'm the Khalik, the Malik, the owner, the creator. And I give you ijazah, permission. Now stand and ask from me. Come to me, request from me. Keep on asking, requesting. Get tired asking, get tired requesting. But I'll give to you definitely, according to my hikmah and my wisdom, my understanding. Because there's my hikmah and everything, just like in this sickness that has come, this calamity or illness, disease, many people are dying. But if we say this is dhulam, oppression, no, it's Allah's hikmah, Allah's wisdom. Every action that Allah Ta'ala ordains and sends is an action, is a wisdom, act of wisdom. Everything Allah Ta'ala desires and selects is due to His wisdom. Nothing is batil or false or wrong. Everything Allah does is haqq, is truth, is correct, according to His hikmah and His wisdom and Allah Ta'ala's choice. So what's our task? Our duty is to do what? How do we react? Is that immediately dua, supplication. Don't fully just talk, this is this and that and that. No. Do dua. Supplicate. Request Allah's putting you into a test, a challenge. Straight away, immediately knock on the door. Knock on the door. Knock to Allah. Now shaitan, what does he do? He makes us despair and lose hope. Because he knows that we have a direct link with Allah. He'll go direct to Allah. He's going to ask from Allah. So he's at this moment down, dejected, in a bad state. So let's put the waswasa into his ears. Sit him down and make him give up. Make him despair. So that poor soul, he leaves that, I'm alone, I'm not going to do dua. What's the need for us to pray? I'm not going to do dhikr. What's the purpose of this? What's the point? There's no benefit. And he makes him despair. How dare we do that? Never should we do that. Allah Ta'ala has promised, whatever He's promised, Allah Ta'ala says, if rahmah will come, then rahmah will come. Definitely mercy. Yes, Allah says, when you do my dhikr, my rahmah comes mercy. Sit in dhikr, rahmah is coming. It's coming for sure. Whether you feel or not, whether you see or not, whatever. But our rahmah is descending. Allah's rahmah is descending in the same way. Allahu Akbar. When a person supplicates, does dua, whatever the condition is befalling you, do dua straight away. Ask from Allah straight away. Allah's promised that I definitely accept the dua, the supplication upon my wisdom. Timing's mine. Yes, either immediately I'll accept that dua. Here the human being starts to shake and get scared. I did dua, why is Allah not accepting? Allah said before that everything's based on my hikmah, whether I accept it straight away, or number two, scenario two, the reaction when we do dua, Allah says either I accept straight away, or I'll accept it at a certain time. I'll delay due to a reason. And the scenario three is that Allah says then the greater response from me is that when you come to me in the hereafter, and then when Allahu Akbar, your deeds will be nothing. Allah say, come to me. Come to me. I've got many of your deeds. And he'll say the seven, Allah, I had no deeds. I did nothing. I was going towards hellfire due to my sins. I'm telling you the meaning of that meeting, Allah would say, bring his du'as, the supplications he used to request to me. I didn't accept in the dunya due to my hikmah. I had ilm, my knowledge. This was in my knowledge that this individual, he's not doing good deeds, he's going to be destined to hell. So I will kept on giving the tawfiq to do dua. Whichever du'as you asked and you thought they were not being accepted, I didn't accept them for this reason. Allah Ta'ala said, for accepting and not accepting, the reason behind that was that I was collecting them here, gathering your du'as here. And today I will give you the response for your du'as. They're accepted. Today I will give you the answer to your du'as. Come and see the response of the du'a. First, turn your face towards Jannah, Paradise, Jahannam, destiny is finished. All the du'as you asked and requested for that, I send you every, I'll give you one reward upon another reward in Jannah. Say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So never should we fall into the trickery of shaitan and despair, never. No. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has put rahmah and mercy in, that mercy is there, 100%. If Allah Ta'ala has promised, then that promise is a fact. And the person who makes us despair is shaitan. And he does his work according to his power, authority. Just like I said today, the conditions that are around us today, rather than arguing, quarreling, disputes, we should do du'as. Pray, Allah, lift this problem and take it away from us and end these severe conditions. Keep on doing du'a. Keep on doing du'a with the dhikr of Allah. So this, in this majlis, in the gathering, the sahaba kiram, the noble companions, may Allah be pleased them, Rasulullah said that Jibreel Islam just came to me and told me that Allah is proud of you, this jama'ah, this congregation, and this should make your belief strong, that wherever we sit in the dhikr gathering will happen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be the favorites of Allah. If today we don't realize those people, their height, their status, their loftiness, their rank, if we cannot see it today, then Allah's promise is true. On the day of judgment, He will illustrate that. Look, I was proud of these people. Allah promises those people I was proud of were my favorites. This is their hal. Come to me, come to me. Allah will show their maqam, their rank, their status there. So should we leave dhikr? No, dhikr is such a great action. Allah's promised that if you gather, assemble, what's the reward for my dhikr? Allah says, I'm proud of those people, that person. If Allah's proud, the whole universe is proud of that person. The creatures, the ant is proud, the fly is proud, yes, human beings will be proud of him, animals will be proud of him, animals recognize that person, because Allah's proud of that person, but this moment of time it's not apparent, you can't see it, so do we leave the dhikr or I don't feel it? No. Look at the things Allah Ta'ala has promised, that by you doing my dhikr, I'll give you this, whether you get it or not physically, 100% you will acquire it, have yaqeen and belief in this. Subhanallah. So this is the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Just like we sat in the majlis, such a great status Allah has given. Allah is proud of the participants that they are doing my dhikr, remembering me. Even in severe conditions today, people are upset, difficulty, down, they don't understand what to do. Even today they're sitting down remembering me. Allah is proud in the heavens. On his dhakireen, whether we get that reward now or not, doesn't matter. But our maqam has been made, status made, confirmed. Those people who Allah is proud of. Sahih Muslim hadith. So Allah Ta'ala give us, may Allah give us all those deeds, the tawfiq, ability to practice that He has promised His rahmah as a reward, that He gives the acceptance as a reward, that He accepts those deeds. We may not see it, but we should not leave that deed, that action. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, salatu wassalamu ala sayyidina al-mursaleen, al-shafi'i al-muslimin, al-taha wa yaseen, al-habib. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وزرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وزلنا وحزننا وشدنا وخطأنا اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلنت وما أسفت وما تعلم به أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت ربنا إننا آمنا واغفر لنا ذنوبنا وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم الغمد وغمد يا حي القيوم اللهم اغفرنا ببدننا واغفرنا بلساننا واغفرنا ببصرنا لا اله الا انت اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا والاخره اللهم احسن عاقبتنا في الامور كلها واجعلنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الاخره لا ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميت وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا اللهم اشف مرضانا مرضى المسلمين اللهم اشف مرضانا مرضى المسلمين اللهم اشف مرضانا المسلمين اللهم اشف اللهم اشف مرضانا مرضى المسلمين يا قاضي الحاجات اقضى حاجاتنا يا نافع المريات ادفع ولياتنا يا شافي الامراض اشف امراضنا اللهم عافنا في بدننا وعافنا في سمينا وعافنا في بسنا لا اله الا انت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم انا نسالك من خير ما سالك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم انت المستعان عليك الولاء ولا حول ولا قوه الا بالله اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا حزننا وجدنا خطبنا عودنا كل ذلك اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما اخرت وما اسررت وما اعلنت وما اسررت وما تعلم به انت المقدم وانت المؤخر ولا اله الا انت وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور عرشه زينه فرشه وعليه صحبه ازواجه ذرياته اهل بيته اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين امين امين.